Hello and welcome to the Press Start Podcast, Press Start Australia's weekly video game discussion podcast. I am your host, Ewan, joined today by my fellow gamers and co-hosts, James.
Hello.
Brody.
Hey.
And Shannon.
Hello.
I think we ought to get started straight into the news this week. I'm just gonna ignore that, Shannon. but we will cycle back and discuss what we've all been playing over the past week and a bit later in the episode. But let's start with what has potentially been one of the biggest pieces of news this whole year. The heavy-hitting news doesn't seem to be slowing down. It came as a huge surprise to everyone this week to hear that Xbox had acquired ZeniMax Media, the parent company of publisher Bethesda, for a cool $7.5 billion, billion with a B. That makes the likes of Bethesda Game Studios, Arkane, Machine Games, and id now Xbox Game Studios. People have obviously been talking about this as one of the biggest pieces of news this year, which seems wild considering we've dedicated the last 2 weeks now to new console launches. But Shannon, how big a deal is this?
It's pretty big. I think all of us, Bar Brady, were playing Among Us at the time. It broke and I was like murderer and sort of just left everything and went and wrote it up. Like, I just don't think anyone saw this coming. Like, from the angle in terms of Microsoft going after a company like that for that much money, and also just from the angle of, like, I didn't expect Bethesda to be open to that kind of takeover. And I still feel like that hasn't really been discussed either. Like, what kind of state were they in as a company?
Yeah, it got me thinking, like, I wonder how much of an impact, like, Fallout 76 has kind of had on their bottom dollar. And you kind of forget just, like, how much cash reserve Microsoft has.
Yeah.
Like, I think I saw people talking about them having, like, $100 billion, like, worth of cash kind of kicking about, which would make 7.5 kind of seemingly insignificant in comparison. What about yourself, James? What was your reaction to seeing this news? Were you surprised as well?
I mean, yeah, I think I'd be really surprised if anybody wasn't surprised. Like, it's such a big acquisition for them. And yeah, like, I think we've all been saying for a while, at least I can say, me and Shannon have, that the acquisitions that Microsoft have made in the past have been really good, but the studios have never been those, like, massive, I guess, heavy-hitting studios. And this is kind of what they needed. but it's just wild, I guess, to think what franchises Bethesda has, and now that they're basically Xbox brands, more or less, assumedly.
Yeah. What do you think this is going to mean for Bethesda's games going forward? Do you think, like you say, there'll be Xbox games?
I mean, officially, like, Phil's come out and said, like, they will remain exclusive, but they will be deciding things on a game-by-game basis.
Yeah.
The big question, I guess, over the whole thing is, how do you make back that money on that investment without it being everywhere? As an example, like Elder Scrolls, as an example, Elder Scrolls 6, leaving that money on the table by not putting it on PS5 seems crazy.
Yeah, and especially for Skyrim, which has kind of had that reputation of being everywhere.
Yeah, I personally don't care. Like, I'm going to have both the consoles at some point this year, hopefully, and like, whatever, but I find it weird when you think about Microsoft went out of their way to presumably acquire Obsidian and got them to make Avowed, which seems to be a Skyrim-esque kind of game, and now they've just bought Bethesda as well. Like, they're really trying to get the monopoly on games like that, I guess, as an example.
And they've got Fable in the works as well.
Yeah, but that, I mean, yes, but I don't think they're the same to me, but
still, like, open world, sure, like, RPG sort of style thing, though, I guess, is my point.
Yeah.
Brody, we've spoken at lengths about Game Pass and what a sweet deal Game Pass really is. Do you think, like, this makes sense for Xbox to really sort of double down on that service, really drive subscriptions? I can imagine a lot of people would be tempted just to get an Xbox and pay for Game Pass rather than pay, like, nearly $100 it is now for new launch games on, say, a PlayStation.
Absolutely. Even if they don't get a new Xbox, you know, if they want to, you know, play xCloud when it eventually comes here, like, they'll have access to all these games through that Game Pass subscription. And, you know, they'll be able to play that through their Android tablet. So, I mean, it's crazy to think that this kind of acquisition will mean that games like, you know, the Elder Scrolls 6 and, you know,
Elder Gronks.
Yeah. and like the next Wolfenstein, and if they make another Doom, like, you'll be able to get all that on Game Pass day one, and that is just insanity to me. I think it could be enough for some people to justify saying, hey, I might get part of the Xbox ecosystem, even if it is going to be on everything. Like, say, even if Elder Scrolls does come to PlayStation, the fact that you can buy an Xbox for around the same price but get this entire catalog of games, which you were probably intending to buy anyway for free, you know, it's a big selling point. But, to that point, even if they do come to PlayStation, like, Microsoft still wins, don't they? If it sells, you know, a million copies on PlayStation, they're going to get a big cut of that. So it's a big money move for a big money company that's got a lot to kick around. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a few sort of, like, interesting tidbits in it as well, in that there's still kind of two existing contracts for Ghostwire and Deathloop for those to be timed exclusive on PlayStation. So there are now Xbox-published exclusive PlayStation games, at least for a limited time. But I guess, you know, Xbox have a decent track record of continuing to release multi-platform titles despite having acquired a license the IP, I should say.
They did it with Outer Worlds and Wasteland
and Minecraft as well. I mean, Minecraft continues to exist on them, and yeah, it was out previously, but Minecraft Dungeons wasn't, and that came out multi-plat.
I just don't think that's the same situation as to what
Minecraft.
Minecraft, like, as a brand, I feel like was everywhere before it got purchased, whereas Wasteland and Outer Worlds were finished more or less when all of that happened with In Exile and the other one, Obsidian.
I feel like so is like Elder Scrolls, though. Like, you could put Elder Scrolls in the same vein as Minecraft for, like, adults. What do you mean no? Like, it's a household name. Like, it's something that every gamer knows. Skyrim in particular.
Yeah.
There is a long lineage, I suppose, with their association to Xbox, though, which obviously featured quite heavily in all their communications coming out about this news. You know, I guess, like, Doom and Quake and the like kind of found their home on PC in those early days. So it's kind of changed around a little bit. Shannon, back to you, though. Who do you think has the best first-party lineup now? Let's assume that these do become exclusive titles, the likes
of Doom. You're setting
me up, yeah. I am, yeah. The likes of Doom, Elder Scrolls, Fallout, like, they become exclusive Xbox titles. How does that stack up against what PlayStation has to offer?
I still think PlayStation, like, I love Bethesda, and I feel like Bethesda Game Studio hasn't really turned anything around since Skyrim, and even then, I feel like Starfield and the next Elder Scrolls would have to be so much better than, like, Fallout 76. Like, RPGs have come such a long way since Skyrim, so I feel like they've got so much to prove. Obviously, Doom's amazing, but I still wouldn't put that on, like, a first-party Sony level. And then Deathloop and Ghostwire are
only PS5 like a games. Timeless franchise from Sony years ago, but sure, like, you know, what still was that, has sorry? It, but whatever.
What was that?
Doom.
It's a great game. Well, I don't think it has the power of The Last of Us in terms of selling power, do you? Or Uncharted?
I don't know. I just would be interested to see where The Last of Us is in.
I think Doom is a great fit for Xbox, though. I feel like James just took me off tangent then just to put his fanboy love for Doom in there, but that's all right. I feel like Bethesda are great.
They speak to different audiences, and I guess it feels like such a stereotype, but I guess Xbox, like, typically kind of has that kind of bro-y, more kind of adult sort of game angle that maybe, like, Doom guy speaks to. He's not all that different from Master Chief, perhaps. But yeah, I guess, like, feel in that, like, way, it does seem like a natural fit, but I think it's kind of at equity now.
I just feel now the goalposts seem to be shifting quite a bit now. Everyone's kind of deciding they don't really like Doom, or, like, they'd think that Skyrim was average. Or, like,
I never said Skyrim was average. So you think if Skyrim released today, it'd be as popular as it was then?
Not necessarily, Shannon, but, like, so many people are like, oh, well, you know, I was never really that hot on Elder Scrolls or Fallout anyway. Like, it just seems to be, like, this annoying discourse around it all. that...
No, I think Skyrim's... It's like one of my favorite games of all time.
So, hang on. Just to be clear on what you're saying, James. You're sort of saying that because there's now the potential that they're Xbox exclusives, people are kind of shitting on these games. Is that what you're suggesting?
A little... 100%. And I feel like...
Oh, my God. Brody, so you didn't shit on Fallout 76. He would agree. Like, you thought Fallout 76 was a good game. I want to ask you that.
There's a lot of cross-talk.
When did I say Fallout 76 was... This has never happened on the podcast before. There's never been outright argument.
I never explicitly said Fallout 76 was a good game, but I'm talking about, like, you know, fucking Fallout 3 and Fallout 4, the ones that everybody wanted.
Like, you know, Elder Scrolls. Back to everyone's the question. Like, oh. I think Microsoft has a more diverse lineup of studios now. Like, I genuinely think they have a better lineup of studios. I think, like James said, like, their acquisitions in the last few years were good, but they weren't AAA. But I feel like this rounds it out really nicely in terms of, like, they've got sort of middle tier AAA. And a couple
I just
of
think Arkane alone, like, I mean, obviously they probably don't, the games probably don't sell, but like they're fantastic games. Like,
they're good Game Pass games too. Like, I don't mean that in a negative way, but they're games that people wouldn't necessarily want to pay full price for, but would definitely play on day one if it was on Game Pass. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I know I mentioned this other when we were talking about this the other night, but so I know James is going to roast me again, but I do kind of like. Bethesda's so long been this bastion of these kind of single-player games that, you know, they like to pretend other people weren't making and that they were making them. But, yeah, my sort of hope is that there's still kind of a hands-off publisher relationship with the studios. I think Bethesda kind of cultivated that well and kind of let them kind of do their own thing and explore things in their own time. And I hope that doesn't change under Microsoft's ownership.
I think they've already said it won't.
Yeah. I don't think it will. But thing, sometimes like, it happens like subconsciously even. So
there's this like this kind of disingenuous concern trolling that all of a sudden Microsoft will turn Bethesda into like this multiplayer studio, even though like Ninja Theory's next game is Hellblade, Obsidian's next game is Avowed. Yeah. Like there's no evidence to suggest that that'll happen. Like just because Rare did Sea of Thieves a few years ago, like. I don't think it's quite fair to put that.
And I don't think
Microsoft
anyone at Rare would say that they were pressured into making Sea of Thieves. I think that's a game they are genuinely very excited about.
Who knows what Shannon Loftus did back in the day, though? Like, maybe she did. Like, that was her
James
vision.
Is all about like, just piling things onto Shannon's tonight. That's his
thing. I don't know, Ewan. That's just how I feel. I understand totally maybe where that concern would have come from 4 years ago, but like not anymore. Like I just don't get that vibe.
I feel like Shannon Loftus
next week
they'll
announce Fable's a fucking MMO, and I'll be
might have done that. Like, but I feel like Phil Spencer knows to just leave studio. Like he knows if he's going to acquire studios, there for a reason, and to let them do what they do best.
Even Double Fine, like in Psychonauts, like
yeah. Yeah, I forget that Double Fine are also being acquired at one point as well. Yeah, I think you're 100% right that they don't really have a track record of kind of pressuring studios to do their own thing. I mean, even look at Minecraft Dungeons. Like, that is like such a bizarre thing for them to have made. And it was essentially a passion project that was like a long dug out sort of... Was it a Game Boy game at some point? It wouldn't have been a Game Boy, but it was just like... It was a DS game, right? It was like a long dug up DS game. Mental. So, yeah, I think there is a certain extent of bias with this. You're right. Because if it had been PlayStation that had acquired Bethesda, I'd probably be jumping about the room celebrating. Whereas my default reaction for this was kind of cautious skepticism, I suppose. How about you, Brody? You've been quiet in all this. Where are you coming down on this argument?
Which argument are we talking about?
There's so many going on. James or me?
In regards to the first party lineups now?
I'm joking. Let's go with that. Let's go back to the original question.
Yeah, look, I'm a big fan of everything that Bethesda's studios do. I think it's just going to come down to what you want. Like, obviously, Sony is still going to have those really high-level, polished, like, genuine AAA games. But if you think about what Xbox has under their belt now, like, this is a console for RPGs. Like, you've got your Fables, you've got your Avowed, you've got Elder Scrolls. You've also got... like, the best first-person shooters on the market. Like, you've got Halo, you've got Doom, you've got Wolfenstein. And, like, the new Colossus was phenomenal. And then you've also got Arkane, who do, like, this really quirky, like, often very experimental games that are always, you know, they're solid 9 out of 10s. Like, they're always great games. So, it's a huge acquisition, and it definitely shifts the ledger, you know, further in their favor of having... I agree with what everyone's saying in terms that they... I think they have a much more diverse lineup than Sony. Like, Sony's lineup is very, you know, third person, over the shoulder, action adventure. You know, what you get is what you get. But, yeah, I mean, looking at how this lineup fills out their first-party studios now, it's definitely an exciting time to be an Xbox.
Can I just say, just to quickly segue into something else?
Please, please.
I feel like everybody's rolling their eyes at this point. Because we haven't talked about, as an example, Tango Gameworks. Like, they're not a big studio, but they're a Japanese studio. Do you guys think, like, there is still a gap in Xbox's portfolio for stuff from Japan?
Well, yeah, I was actually...
And do you think they care anymore, is the other question I think I would ask.
Well, I think so, because hasn't there been the rumor that, like, Phil Spencer wants to, like, revive IPs for, like, Bullet Witch and other Japanese games like that?
Scalebound's coming back to be cancelled again.
Like, so I think...
The Bullet Witch thing was, like, false. If you actually clicked the link, it didn't actually say anything. It was actually all fake. But, which...
Dreams are free.
Do you reckon, James... I don't think that would have played any part of it, but you're not saying that, are you, James? Like, I don't think that would have influenced the decision at all.
No, 100%. Like,
it's
I'm
just
not saying
a nice to have, it's a Tango nice game to have works,
but
alongside...
Like, I just think, like, do you think, like, say, they might go after, say, Sega as an example now, because they've got the money. Like,
they could.
Or
Capcom, not Capcom. I don't think that'll happen, but Sega.
Konami's a potential. And
one cares.
I mean, to have the Metal Gear and Castlevania properties, though, would be pretty exciting.
Sony's still that might be Kojima, though.
Yeah,
that would be like $13.50
to buy.
That's
a reply
from
PlayStation, like, if they acquire Konami. I guess there's like one final question I have around this then. Maybe I'll shoot it to you, Shannon. And that is, Xbox also kind of running away with a different game here as well, because they've obviously got Game Pass, and this seems to be doubling down on that and really kind of filling that out with first-party exclusive titles, potentially. It remains to be seen. But are they kind of like getting leaks ahead at this point in front of Google Stadia? PlayStation's got their PlayStation Plus collection. Are they going to kind of dominate this space that their competitors are very slow to move into?
Yeah, I think their end game right now is to definitely become the Netflix of gaming, which is what's always been said about Game Pass since day one. But I think with this announcement, they announced 15 million subs, which has grown from 10 million in... I don't know, 3 or 6. It's grown like faster than any other milestone. But yeah, I think I can't even remember what you asked. I do think they're going in the right direction, and I do think this should be where they're heading. I don't think they're ever going to win a pure hardware or game sales race ever again. But I think like in 5 years' time, if this is working perfectly in the cloud, which we don't have xCloud here, but apparently that works really well, like I could see them totally dominating the video game space over anyone else.
Yeah, I mean, they may not need consoles at that point, right? You know, the Xbox platform could exist on other hardware. Obviously, they're already on PCs, which was kind of a welcome relief. Like, looking at this news, I was like, oh, shit, am I going to have to buy an Xbox now? Oh, wait, no, thank God, PC, yes, I can still play there. But yeah, I think you're bang on that they are kind of just running away with it at this point.
I do wonder when Game Pass becomes profitable, though. Like, I was trying to do the math and how many subscribers it'd take to get $7.5 billion back. And that's a lot of subscribers.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess they just have a lot of money. I don't know.
Well, the cost of the acquisition was more than what PlayStation made last year. Like,
yeah, which is insane.
To kind of put into, obviously, Sony makes money as a whole, but PlayStation as a whole made that much less than that last year.
Buying,
so like,
they're buying the intellectual property too, though. So there's merchandise sales. There's all sorts of things on top of this as well, right?
And you could also argue the same point that Xbox didn't make that much money last year. Microsoft made a shitload, but
yeah. But like, I'm not. But that's not my point. My point is like, I'm just saying, like,
it's a lot of money.
Microsoft has more money to throw around. Like, obviously, Sony bought Insomniac, but I don't think Sony's interested in buying anyone as big as Bethesda.
Yeah, and the two companies of Microsoft and Sony are in very different positions. Like, yeah, PlayStation, Xbox, there's a difference there. But it's kind of flipped around the other way when you look at how Microsoft performs compared to Sony. know, their businesses have been struggling for a while. PlayStation's really the only one that's kind of doing all that well. Maybe their camera business too now. I'm not 100% sure.
I miss my bio. Yeah,
Microsoft have like stacks of backing behind them. So they can kind of support Xbox through this more exploratory phase, I suppose. Whereas Sony are kind of counting on PlayStation to make money in a way that Microsoft isn't with Xbox. All right, shall we move on? pre-orders. We've heard countless stories of people sadly missing out on launch day consoles. I think we might have had a couple here, but we'll get to that in a moment. I could not, for the life of me, get my hands on an RTX 3080 card. As we all know, we were all trying to help me out desperately last week. Brody and Shannon, if I'm not mistaken, you guys struggled to get your hands on Xboxes as well?
At first, yeah, like everyone, I think. Everyone struggled to get their hands on one at first, like through, you know, EB and all that, and Amazon just didn't want to go live. But I sort of got lucky, you know, in the mid-arvo when Target went up, so I was lucky to lock one of those in, and I'm not sure if Shannon was the same.
So I can't remember the order. I got one through EB when they just randomly put them live in the afternoon, and it actually worked, more just to test it before I tweeted it out and pissed people off. And that went through, but I believe that's second wave. And then, yeah, I got one on Amazon when that went live, which I believe is launch stock. So, yeah, it was definitely, it was challenging, but it was doable if you knew where to look.
And you're watching the Facebook comments and on people on Twitter all day are struggling with it too. Is it like, what do you think was the issue with Xbox? Was it with regard to how much stock there was? Was it the demand for it? Because they obviously had this pre-order planned like significantly far in advance. Unlike PlayStation, they took a different approach.
Yeah, it was bizarre. I don't really know what the go was. Like, there was definitely less stock across the board, which we've seen across the world. But then EB in particular, I think there were signs with how EB put it live. Because the first one, I don't know, I wasn't really paying attention because I was writing it up, but like, I don't know if their Cloudflare or their payment system just didn't work, but obviously it sold out nearly instantly. Then again, they were meant to put it live at 12 p.m, but pushed back to 3 p.m, and then that sold out nearly instantly. And then they put it back up. James, was it like 5 o'clock-ish? 4:35?
It was pretty late.
Yeah, out of the blue.
Between 3 and 4 and then, WA time, so...
And then it stayed up for, what, an hour and a half, 2 hours. And I think like 95% of the people that I was watching on Twitter in our groups got consoles then, which makes no sense to me, really. Like, I don't know.
It's like the hours stock after held they back. Were meant to go live. Yeah.
Like, everyone thought it was sold out. Like, I don't really get where that stock came from. And it must have been a lot of stock because it stayed up for ages when every other retailer went down in 2 minutes. So I definitely think it was lower stock, but... I don't know, it's weird. It seemed like it wasn't planned at all, but it obviously had been planned 2 weeks in advance. So I don't know.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious, like I didn't try to get my hands on an Xbox, but I was trying to get my hands desperate on one of these RTX cards. And a lot of the reports surrounding all that and why every website kind of simultaneously imploded, much in the same way it sounds like Xbox did, was people using bots, right? This is sort of what's been reported, that people are using these automated bots that are automatically and immediately sort of putting a purchase down on a unit on the website, so much faster than a human possibly could. And there's sort of accusations spanning around that scalpers are using these en masse to basically grab as many units as they can and then chuck those pre-sales up on eBay at ridiculously inflated prices. Brody, I imagine you'd have a stance on that kind of thing. Do you think bots are a bit of a problem in a scenario such as this?
Absolutely.
No one's going to say like, yes.
No one's going to be like, I'm for the bots, except for those... fuckheads.
Well, people
like,
are using them to fight back. That's the thing, right?
Like, I think what you were saying is, like, do you think bots actually were the reason why sites were going down and selling out? Is that what you're asking? Not...
Is that what yes.
Oh, well, I don't know if that is necessarily the case, but I think there was just a huge volume of people on the website, which just, you know, crashed it. But in a general question, are bots a problem? Then yes, absolutely. Like you've got these subhuman fucking filth.
That's the sort of reaction I was hoping to get. Thank you, bro.
Subhuman scum combing the internet to make a buck. Get fucked. So. I'm all for people on Twitter and everything saying that we should just go on these pages, hit buy now, and then just let it sit there and don't fucking pay them a cent. You like, fuck them. They're absolute jags.
Dogs.
Well, people are using bots to sort of fight back and drive these prices up on eBay to something like ridiculous and no one else put in a legitimate bid and obviously back out of the sale the second that they can. But yeah, like this seems to be a problem kind of going forward. Do you have any ideas, James, of how people kind of counteract this in the future? Like, is there an ideal pre-order process or things you can sort of do as a consumer to get your hands on these things?
I don't actually agree. I don't think bots were the right. I think bots are a nice conspiracy theory. Like, and a way for people to make themselves feel better about the fact they were too slow and missed out. But, like I feel like the RTX thing, maybe, because I feel like that... But, like, I feel like if it was bots, the Xboxes wouldn't have lasted for 2 hours on EB Games, as an example.
Yeah.
I think maybe... I mean, I don't know how. I have no idea how this works logistically behind the scenes. But, like, I am surprised that with heavy... like launches and stuff. A lot of these retailers, I don't think they have captures or anything like that. Like there's captures to log in, but nothing to do orders, which I think a lot of ticketing sites, if you buy tickets for a gig, there is a lot of like kind of things to prove you're not a bot. I don't personally think bots were a thing. As an example for EB, I think their payment gateway, something happened that like it's a third party provider and they shat the bed. Cause obviously everybody, we heard reports on Twitter and Facebook that gift cards and ZipPay were fine, but credit cards weren't. So,
right. And interesting. You know,
yeah. So I'm wondering if that's like all that's happened with EB as an example. I can't speak for JB. I didn't want to go for them because their pre-orders aren't guarantees or something. And then I don't know. It's like, obviously with the PS5, because it was so unexpected, like I imagine people couldn't prepare their, let's just say it was bots, they couldn't prepare them for that. Whereas, which like Shannon said, is like ironically probably better. But yeah, I mean, I can't even remember what the question was. But
you've covered it. Yeah, I feel like there's no real like ideal solution to it. It's just kind of a bit of a shit show, really.
It's just Shannon, like, the craziest conspiracy theory seems to be peddled so quickly. Like, and I just don't think that's what happened, honestly.
Just quickly, James, like what... Why do you think that EB had that massive shipment like late in the afternoon when it looked like everything was sold out? Do you think there was a lot of like orders?
Like as an example, my friend tried to order in the morning and thought he didn't get one. Then he got an email like about 6 hours later that said, "Congrats, you've got one." And obviously, I'm wondering, like this is obviously complete speculation, but like I'm just wondering if maybe EB went through and maybe some people double ordered by accident in the chaos or some people they cancelled maybe some that were the same credit card, same name, like people trying to buy more than one and then, or maybe just like Microsoft came to them at 12 o'clock and was like, hey, here's more stock. You guys are pre-ordering heaps. Like
instead of four consoles, you've got 40,000.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe we're gonna take them off Amazon.
Maybe when maybe when someone just added it to their cart or tried to pay, like it took one unit down in the stock allocation, and maybe they realized later it took them a while to go through and see who actually paid for it and got through and who didn't. That's the only thing I can think of because it just seemed weird.
Yeah, I have a second friend who was told that they're manually invoicing. Him. So if they're actually manually invoicing everybody.
Yeah, I heard that.
That's like pain. I feel bad for the people who have to do that. Like that's a lot of work, I feel like. Yeah. And then,
Shannon, final point on this. What's your advice to the people that have missed out on next gen consoles at this point, be it the PS5 or the Xbox One? You know, when can we expect to see stock again, do you think? Is it rule Christmas out, hold out hope for next year?
I'm trying to think. From memory, I think PS5, like EB didn't take any 2021 orders for Xbox, for instance, but for PS5, they've already taken, I assume, January, Feb, maybe even March orders, where I think Xbox, a lot of people stopped at the second wave. But if you own an Xbox, Telstra All Access, Xbox All Access, you can still get Wave 1 or Wave 2. So that's your option. PS5, I think Amazon will just have... Amazon don't do like pre-orders for like future stock waves like they do before a product comes out. But I think Amazon will have stock drops before Christmas for like Wave 2 and maybe a few other retailers. I do think there might be some stock in store on day one or soon after for like Big W and Target, but that's just me speculating. I do think there'll be stock in stores on Christmas online and in store, but I think they're going to go insanely quickly. So join our groups, turn tweet notifications on and you'll be set.
Yes, yeah. It's a very, very good recommendation. Shannon is all over it. He's the man to go to. All right, we are running long, but we have all been playing games that I know we're eager to talk about. James, you've been playing some of Hades.
I have. It's like almost my game of the year. I can't stop thinking about it. I can't stop playing it. Like,
huge.
I don't know what it is, because it's like a huge if true. I don't know if like... I don't know. This is all Brody's fault. Because, like, when I was dying 2 weeks ago on my deathbed, I was like, look, I don't want to die without playing these stupid games that Brody keeps telling me to play. So I played Bastion and Transistor. And I loved Transistor. And obviously, that I kept an eye out for Hades because that was, like, the next game.
Yeah.
And obviously, I bought that, used my shitty Nintendo coins to get it cheaper. And I'm really enjoying it. Like, it's such a solid... It's like their best playing game yet. It's so pretty. Yeah. It runs really well. The combat is phenomenal. It's like a randomly generated roguelike, but like, which is like the most un-James thing. Like, I can't stand procedurally generated games. Like, I just feel like they're not designed well, but this is just so well designed. Like, it just, like, because even when you die and you lose everything, obviously in a game like Dead Cells, you kind of become demotivated.
Yeah.
But in Hades, like, every character has something to say about how you died, or like they have a little bit more story to feed you from that, like the backstory through flashbacks or something. Like they've kind of done, it's like perfectly balances this kind of single player narrative thing with the multiplayer, with the procedurally generated kind of game, which I feel like a lot of games don't get that balance right. Like Windbound, as an example, we were talking about that weeks ago, and I felt like that was so out of whack with the balance, but this is just like so, it's just so good and so addictive, like I just can't stop playing it. I'm really happy, it's really good.
I picked it up ages ago on PC when it was in still in early access. I played a few hours of it, but I think I still need to kind of like get my teeth like properly sunk into it. But I totally am with you that I think for me it wasn't so much the story playing out. Maybe there wasn't a lot of that in the early access at the time.
I assume that would be recent. Yeah, not in early access.
But it feels so good, and the combat is so kind of fast and frantic that it's just kind of a bit addictive in that regard. So that kind of had me going back into it and sticking with a roguelike more so than I maybe would otherwise.
It has so many layers. Like, and with Transistor, like, you had abilities and then you could combine them with other abilities to change things. And that kind of works the same way with the boons you get from the gods and stuff in this. Like, you still, even though it's random, you can still layer them on top of each other in some aspects. And it just controls so well. Like, in Transistor, I felt like Red, she felt like she was running through maple syrup. Like, she was so slow. And then, like, in Hades, like, it's just so quick and so, like, responsive. And you can dash around. And it feels very, like Devil May Cry or Bayonetta in that way. I'm really surprised that I like it so much.
Granted, I didn't get all that far through it and to any significantly harder enemies, but when I died as well, I felt like it had that element of, okay, I know why I died there. That was my mistake. I can do that. Like, you always felt like you could kind of progress through it and know something you had done wrong, which, again, I think is, like, super important for a
roguelike. And redoing shit from the beginning is so much still fun because you'll still have a different run every time. And I know that's like that with every roguelike, but there's something about this that's like, they've just nailed the balance there and the pacing. But I love
it. Bit of a sleeper hit this year. You've heard it here first, folks. Brody, you've been playing Mario 64 for the first time.
Yeah. I don't have much to say about it as yet. I'm still very early days. I've probably got 8 stars to my name, which I know most people can probably do in about 6 minutes. But it took me a little bit. It's fine. It's good.
Like, holds up.
I don't know.
How good is the camera, Brody?
It's garbage, as you would say. But yeah, the camera's not great. But
I've literally only got so far as booting it up. And I must admit, to see it like in 4:3, I was like,
I feel like as a collection, it feels a bit low budget. But yeah, I mean, they're still allegedly classic games, so it's still pretty good value, I think. I'll press on through 64 and see how I go.
There's a box quote there from Brody, allegedly classic games.
I think once you get to Sunshine and Galaxy, like, the difference is insane in visual.
I can imagine that.
I'm very much looking forward to Galaxy in particular, but I remember, I can't remember if it was James or Ewan that said I would enjoy Sunshine because it's like the first Mario game with a story. Might have been James.
Oh, yeah. I think I was being facetious because the story is like, it's very simple.
Well, then throw it out.
It's still good.
Throw out the
still
pin.
Has some
then.
Twists and turns.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Would you
call it that Shyamalan of Mario games?
I think people forget, though, like Mario 64, it was like the first ever 3D game.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
You know what I mean? There was like, and I know it's obviously 25 years old. I still think it plays quite well for 25 years old. But I was saying to people like the other day, like yes, it controls like pretty well. I feel like Tomb Raider, as an example, came out after that, and like Lara controlled like a drugged cow wearing steel cap boots. Like, it was so hard to play that game. And I just don't feel like you can like play that game today as well as you can play Mario 64. Like, you know what
now
I mean?
That's a box quote. That's a box quote.
I don't know if cow was the best choice of edible, but nonetheless. I think you are misogyny. You do sort of forget that. I certainly forgot that. And even like the opening kind of scene, you know, with Mario emerging from the pipe and the camera panning around him. I can't imagine like how kind of groundbreaking that was at the time, so to speak. Shannon, did you get an opportunity to play any of the Call of Duty Cold War Alpha over the weekend?
A tiny bit. I think it's the same as the preview that I played a few weeks ago, but even then I was a little bit distracted with Series S stuff. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It's good.
Yeah. Yeah, cool I played changes. A bit over the weekend and really enjoyed the, what is it called? The like 24 player mode. I'm forgetting what it's called now.
I don't know, that was
really good. Much more Battlefieldy to me in a way, which is only a good thing because I love my Battlefield games.
Sounds memorable.
Other than that, good maps. Otherwise, it's a new Call of Duty game. It's a new Call of Duty game. What can you expect? Like, but if you like Call of Duty, you'll like
bar,
it. Enough
score streaks. Like, there's some changes. Like, they always just change three or four things up that make it feel fresh.
And it's
like
just
that.
Always enough. It's just always enough to go, this is a little bit different, and just get your hooks in you again. Yeah. Mm. It's annoying. Shannon, speaking of annoying, let's play a game that is what the Wiki, the Press Start Podcast game show, where the previous week's winner reads part of a Wikipedia page for an unknown game, and we, the contestants, must guess the game. The first to guess two games correctly wins the round and takes home the points. And last week, that was Shannon getting his first point on the board, equal now with Matt and Harry. Stevens above them on 4, myself on 7, Brody on 8, and James still reasonably comfortably in the lead on 10 points. but Shannon, as last week's winner, you are the host from here on out, so take it away.
Great. It's my first time doing this, so I apologize.
Have you never hosted What the Wiki before?
No.
I'm ready for the train wreck.
The last time I won, this wasn't a rule. It was just you and hosting, always.
Yeah, this is a relatively new rule. It's one of
Or maybe Shannon just hasn't won forever.
Shut up, Brody.
That too.
Okay. How do you even do this? So, game is a...
You just read the game without...
The game is a four-player cooperative third-person shooter published by Electronic Arts for PS3 and Xbox 360. The game went by a different name, but was rebranded in August 2012. The game is an action game which features four-player co-op and a selection of weapons akin to those which are prominently featured in Ratchet and Clank and Resistance.
Ewan. is this Fuse?
It is, yes.
Is that what it was called? Yes.
Wow. Well,
did I make that too obvious?
What a nightmare. This round is already... We've had
this is a fucking train wreck.
Okay, wait. Excuse me. Just relax. Oh, now I'm nervous. You put me off. Shut up.
Oh my God. We all have to start somewhere.
The game was published by Microsoft Studios. It was unveiled at E3's 2011 Microsoft conference and released in October 2011. The game adds 6 new sports and voice control. As with the previous... Oh, that's going to give it you away.
James, yeah. James.
I snuck in.
You got to get the name right as well.
I got to get the name right?
Who are we talking...
Oh, shoot.
Ewan.
That threw me off.
No, he didn't.
I'm worried I wasn't paying enough attention to the star now. Was it Wii Sports Resort?
No, Ewan.
What the f- Where did that come from?
I got really thrown off. Can you stop holding on to your mic arm and swinging that around? I'm just worried the squeaking is getting picked up by the audio recording.
Go on, James.
Is it Kinect Sports Rival Shannon? Rivals Shannon.
Is that what it was called here?
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
I think so.
Wait, no, it's not. It's not.
Oh, fuck.
It's not. That was a different one. Brady.
I don't actually know. Hey, how long is there left in the paragraph? Mull it over.
Just half a paragraph left.
No, I'll keep going and I'll wait to the end of the paragraph. I fucking can't. I didn't play any Kinect games.
You'll Google it. Is that what you're... cheater.
Totally.
Yeah.
This
is the sacred
game. The game consists of 6 sports, which can be accessed from the main menu, which can be played in single or multiplayer. The sports are golf, darts, baseball, skiing, tennis, and American football. The game's second... Yeah.
Oh, I don't think this is it. It's not Kinect Adventures, is it?
My God.
Oh, my God.
Shannon Loftus is literally cursing you all from fucking wherever she lives.
Well, don't make shit Kinect games, pal.
That was her career.
I obviously missed the start when it was an Xbox game.
All right, you're all back in. The games are controlled through Microsoft's James. Kinect device. Yep.
Kinect Sports Season 2.
Yes.
That's what it was called? Oh, no.
It was. I would have taken Kinect Sports 2 after that catastrophe. Wii Sports Resort. You're disqualified.
Yeah.
I obviously missed the Xbox bit at the start. I was too distracted by you swinging off your mic.
Remember when Wii Sports Resort was announced at the Xbox press conference?
I heard the date and I was like, it's got more sports and it's around that time.
I think Shannon might have said Xbox 4 times in the first 2 sentences.
Well, he wasn't listening. All right, okay. You may continue.
The game is a stealth game developed by Artist Montreal and published by Square Enix. The game is set in the city, a dark fantasy world inspired by Victorian Gothic Gaslight Fantasy and steampunk aesthetics.
Gaslight Fantasy.
Players control Garrett, a master thief who embarks on several missions focusing
James?
On. Yeah.
Is it? Oh my God! The giving up. Is it safe?
Yes. Is that it? Is that? Please tell me that's
yeah,
it.
Yes,
because I don't have another game.
Why did you pick these games? Was there a theme?
There was
Hang
a
on.
Theme.
Hang on, let's Ooh. Try and work this out.
I originally had a better idea, but I didn't run out of time.
Are they all Shannon Loftus games?
Yeah, they're all games that Shannon Loftus has touched in one or more ways.
Where did this come
they're
from?
Not. They're not. They're all
Are
games
they all games that underperformed?
They're all games that were by studios that have been acquired by a publisher. A major publisher.
There you go.
Oh, wow. I love that. That's very dynamic.
I love that on you.
I'm never doing that again. That's
very dynamic.
That's his excuse for never winning from now on. Yeah. So, James, well done. That's bumped you up to 11 points now, expanding that lead. Not long enough to go in the year.
What an exciting season of what the wiki this is.
This could be yours. It's been better than it usually has been, Brody. He usually runs with it a lot quicker than this, so we've kind of slowed him down by changing up the rules and nothing else.
Well, what are we going to change next year? This is garbage.
Maybe he should just start with
just
a handicap.
Get Shannon
he
to
starts
read them,
like negative
that throws
three.
Me off.
I still
you still won.
I still like the idea of we just do some all of us versus James game where we all have to like trick
like
him.
A boss battle.
Yeah,
boss
the whole year is a boss battle against James. Anyway,
that could be fun. We could work with that. Let's workshop that idea. But with that, let's bring an end to what was this week's episode of the Press Start podcast. Subscribe to us on the podcast service of your choice. Follow us at press.au and visit the site at press.com.au. Be sure to look out for all the latest like console stuff that Shannon's on the ball with. We've been joined today by Brody.
Thank you. You can follow me on most things at Brody_DG.
We've also been joined today by Shannon.
You can follow me at Shancake_. Come back for my What the Wiki hosting skills next time.
You got to win again.
Or my just general competitor skills, sorely lacking. And we've also been joined today and taken home the points. It was James.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter. It's at James8TJAMZ. I'm talking about Hades, and I want to pre-order Resident Evil. That's the last thing I tweeted about, but I can't. That's all I have to add.
I take pre-orders. Aren't up for that yet.
No, it's so weird.
Have we all been busy pre-ordering games? Are we jumping on the Amazon discounts?
No, not yet.
I haven't pre-ordered one. I should
probably sort it out, but yeah.
I can't pre-order games because I got the digital, so...
Oh, yeah, true. Uh-huh.
Rip. I'm going to have nothing to play on day one because my internet won't install anything.
That was a horrible decision.
Yeah. Look, I've been thinking about it. It would be nice to have the option, but oh well.
Day one, more like day done.
I still have the pre-order if you want it. I would give it up for you, Brody.
Oh, thanks, babe.
And I've been your host, Ewan Roxburgh. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Ewan_Roxburgh. Thanks again for tuning in. And until next time, happy gaming.
Bye.